his peace no matter what the situation, and he'll have success in his service for God. So let's look at these verses. 1 Timothy 1. He says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, exhortation, that refers to the act of encouraging, urging, or admonishing someone toward a particular course of action. Here, Paul is encouraging Timothy and us to take the actions of prayer. And if we break this verse down, supplication, that's a form of prayer in which the believer earnestly and humbly asks God for help, guidance, and blessings, reflecting dependence and reverence on the Lord. Prayer, that's a solemn request for help or expression of thanks that's addressed to God. Intercession, that's the act of praying or meditating on behalf of others, seeking God's intervention, mercy, and blessings for them. And in mentioning these several forms of prayer to Timothy, Paul is urging us that at different times, you're going to pray in a different way. A different situation, you may intercede, or you may pray, or you may go with supplication. So, and it goes on, the verse goes on, talks about giving of thanks, and this is to express gratitude to God for his blessings and grace. And at the end of that verse, he says that prayers, supplications, intercessions, giving of thanks are to be made for all men, for all men. And so he's telling us, pray about everything, pray about every situation, and you are going to have success. And then verse 2, it says, for kings and all who are in authority. He's talking about prayer. Pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So these kings and those who are in authority, you know, they're included in that, in the first, what it says, for all men. Pray for all men. But I think what Paul is saying as he breaks out this particular group of people, that the decisions, the actions of these particular men, you're talking about government leaders. We're talking about church leaders. We're talking about leaders of corporations. We're talking about leaders of labor unions. We're talking about these people, men and women, who have positions of authority that allow them to make decisions that may be good or they may be bad, but they affect a lot of people, right? So Paul is just telling Timothy to make sure and pray for those, maybe special and extra prayers for those people. So, in the second verse, part of this verse, Paul says that if we're diligent to pray for all men, including these leaders, that God will give us the ability to lead a quiet life, a peaceful life, because he's going to watch over us. He's going to watch over those prayers, and he's going to give us a peace that surpasses all understanding as we rest in the assurance that God is in control of every situation. And verse 3 goes on to say, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior. Our obedience to pray for situations in our lives, in the lives of others, in the lives of our nation, in the lives of the world, this pleases God because it shows, again, and I'm going to be repetitive because I want to get this point in, it shows that we're depending on him. We're depending on him to give us the peace and those things that we need in our lives. And verses 4 and 5, he goes on to say, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. So as we pray, we're acknowledging God's love for us because he sent his only son, Jesus, to save us and to give us the ability to live these peaceful lives. There are powerful scriptures promising peace to us, and that's what I want to focus on, peace in our lives. When we're consistent in prayer, it doesn't matter what the situation is in our lives, on our job, in the world. When we lift our concerns to God in prayer, we can have his peace. Now, Jesus, In Matthew 9:6-9-13, he gives us a model prayer to guide us to honor God, to seek his kingdom, to depend on his provision, to request forgiveness, and ask protection from temptation and evil. Matthew 6:9-13, we're probably all pretty familiar with this, most of us. It says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So as we're talking about prayer and types of prayer, I'm going to spend just a few moments looking at the elements of this prayer and the meanings. Our Father who art in heaven, this opening acknowledges God as a loving heavenly Father. It emphasizes both intimacy and reverence, highlighting that believers are part of God's family, the plural, our Father. It reminds us of the communal nature of prayer, uniting all Christians who pray together. Hallowed be thy name, thy name. Hallowed means holy and to be honored. By praying this, we recognize God's holiness. We ask that his name be revered on earth as it is in heaven. It reminds us to live in a way that reflects God's character and goodness. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we pray for obedience to God's will, surrendering our personal desires and in favor of his good and perfect plan. It encourages believers to act with compassion, love, and moral integrity, reflecting divine wisdom in everyday life. Give us this day our daily bread. This line asks God to provide for our physical and spiritual needs, acknowledging dependence on him for sustenance, health, and guidance. Daily bread signifies both essential provisions for spiritual nourishment through scripture and communion with Christ. Going on, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We request God's forgiveness for our sins while committing to forgive others. This is the heart of the relational and spiritual renewal, teaching that the mercy received from God should be extended toward others, providing humility and reconciliation. And lead us not into temptation. This petition recognizes human vulnerability, asking God to guide us away from situations that may lead to sin. It reflects reliance on his wisdom and reliance on his protection in the face of moral challenges. But deliver us from evil. We pray for rescue from the power of evil, including the influence of Satan and all things that oppose God's will. It calls for divine protection and grace to endure trials in the dangers of life. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This affirms God's ultimate sovereignty, power, and glory, reminding us that all authority belongs to him and that we live under his mighty reign. So in summary, this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and taught us to pray, and while we may not just repeat those words verbatim all the time, but these are the things that we need to be praying for, the things that we need to be watching for in our world, those things that bring us anxiety, we need to pray following this model. In summary, this prayer guides believers in worship, dependence, forgiveness, and protection, shaping both their relationship with God and with others. Each line emphasizes humility, spiritual alignment, and the desire for God's will to prevail, demonstrating prayer as an active participation in his kingdom on this earth. Now, there's a little story I'm going to read, If you've heard me preach before, I've read it before, because I think that I think this story illustrates God and his relationship to us and our relationship to him and what he is expecting of us. So I'm just going to read this. It's a story. It says, a man was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room was filled with light. The Savior appeared. The Lord told the man he had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against that rock with all his might. This the man did day after day. For many years he toiled from sunup to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all his might. Each night the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. Since the man was showing signs of discouragement, the adversary decided to enter the picture by placing thoughts into the man's weary mind. You've been pushing against that rock for a long time. It hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You're never going to move it, thus giving the man the impression that the task was impossible and that he was a failure. These thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man. Have you ever felt discouraged and disheartened? I think we all have at times. I go on. The thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man. Why kill yourself over this, he thought. I'll just put in my time, giving just the minimum effort, and that will be good enough. And that's what he planned to do. Until one day, he decided to make it a matter of prayer and take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. Am I the only one that's ever been in that position? Anybody else out there ever been in this position? Yeah, I see some smiles and some shaking of heads. Yeah. Lord, he said, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet, after all this time, I've not even budged that rock by half a millimeter. What's wrong, Lord? Why am I failing? But God, the Lord responded compassionately, my friend, when I ask you to serve me and you accept it, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push, and now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled. Your back is sinewy and brown. Your hands are calloused from constant pressure. Your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my friend, will now move the rock. You think that this man who thought he was a failure and he wasn't doing right, when he took that and he went to prayer and the Lord answered him, do you think he was feeling pretty good right now? You think he'd go back out there and push on that rock? The Lord said he was going to move it. But until the Lord moved it, you think he'd keep pushing on that rock? Because he had a calling, and we all have a calling. But we have to keep it covered in prayer if we want to have peace, because there's going to be oppositions coming against us. There's going to be people that are questioning maybe even our sanity, questioning what we're doing. But we have to go to the Lord in prayer. We have to let the Lord know that, hey, Lord, you told me to do this. And this is what I'm going to do. But Lord, I ask you to just help me to do it. Help me. and give me peace. Once we have that peace and feel peace about it, we can do just about anything, can't we? It's that peace that brings us. Let me finish the story. At times when we hear a word from God, we tend to use our own intellect to decipher what he wants, when actually what God wants is just simple obedience and faith in him. By all means, exercise faith to move mountains, but know that it is still God who moves the mountains. So when we are issued, when we discuss, as let's just push, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. Just pray and wait on the Lord. Pray and wait on the Lord. So in closing, I'm going to leave you with a few scriptures. I plan to read through them without comments, but who knows? I may make a comment as we go along. Yes. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here it is. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when you're worried about something, take it to God in prayer. And stay in that prayer until you feel the peace from God. Because he will give you peace, because he knows you're trusting in him. And he'll show you the solution. And even though the solution may not be what you like or I like, go with God's solution, because he's the one that knows best. And that peace that surpasses all understandings will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. You may not understand it, but as we go through Jesus in prayer, he's going to guard our hearts and minds. Second scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice. While we're in that waiting period and we're waiting on God, we're waiting on the solution, rejoice. Know you have the victory. Rejoice. And then Numbers 6, 24 through 26 in the Old Testament. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and what? And give you peace. Give you peace. It's in peace that we're going to have the victory. And as a believer, we can choose to live in accordance with the word, in accordance with these scriptures. It's our choice. You know, God left us with a free will. We can believe the world and be discouraged, or we can believe God and what he says and live in peace no matter what. No matter what. You know, we're only responsible for what we do. We're not responsible. I'm not responsible for what you do. You're not responsible for what I do. But I'm responsible for making sure that no matter what happens, I'm going to be in peace. And I'm going to walk in accordance with God's will and God's way. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Help us to apply your word and help us to seek peace in all times, Father. And help us to do what you've called us to do as we realize that you sent Jesus to this earth, and as we accepted Christ as our Lord and our Savior, as our God, that we bought for ourselves your peace, your assurance, your guidance, and your direction. As we do, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I encourage you, just have a good week. Just decide to pray. Decide to do what God has called you to do and live as God has called you to live. This is a short, sweet, simple message, but it's the truth. All right, blessings.